We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBA Front Office Show, a.k.a. the No Sleep Show, because, oh my goodness, Shams Charania hits us early this morning with all kinds of NBA news. We've got a ton of stuff to break down, probably more stuff than we can cover in one episode today. There is going to be all kinds of craziness. It is the week of the NBA draft. Let's go. This is such an exciting time of year. I'm Trevor Lane. You can find me on Twitter at Trevor_Lane, joined by Keith Smith at Keith Smith NBA. Keith, I'm just going to plan on no sleep for the week, because this is going to be an insane week if today's start is any indication of what's going to happen here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're full on into the period of the year where it is, am I safe to jump in the shower? Am I going to miss something? I want to have my phone on for notifications at all times. I want to have everything near me. Thank God after my experience at the Apple Store and back up and running with a new phone. If those who maybe don't follow me on Twitter or missed it, I dropped my phone into a thing of sweet and sour sauce and managed to basically wreck it. And then the Apple Store, in the process of fixing it, wrecked it even more. So, but we're back up and running, thankfully. And I hope everybody enjoyed Father's Day, all the dads out there who are watching and listening. And I hope you got plenty of sleep this weekend, because I think we just had our last weekend off for a couple weeks.
Absolutely. I told my wife, she said, we've got to take our daughter to her birthday party next week. And I looked at her and I said, well, you know, I can't go, right? And she said, why? I said, well, it's 30 minutes away from here. And I said, I can't be there. I said, that's an hour of driving plus however long we're there. There's no way I could step away for that long. Who knows what could happen in that? Nope. That's the time of year that we're in right now. We're stepping away for any length of time is risking catastrophe, because there is a ton going on. And I guess, let's just dive into it. By the way, I'm fully expecting that my breaking news drop is going to be debuted shortly. Maybe it'll be this show, because you never know this time of year when news is going to come out.
Man, you could have played it with the breaking news you dropped on me before we started recording. Now, you've never watched The Wire.
Yeah, I guess that could have been.
I literally turned into the emoji of the guy's head exploding. I was like, wait, what happened? Like, you've never seen The Wire? So, but I get it. All right. I understand your reasoning. It's pretty gritty and real. So That's it for me.
I'm one of those people where if it's like, the super heavy real life dramas, and I know that's all the rage right now, and that's what tons of, all the streaming platforms are producing like crazy. And my wife is way into those. I'm just not interested. The real world, it's messy enough as it is. I don't want to see stuff that has to deal with that. So that's me. That's me.
All right, let's get into the real world of NBA rumors and news, because we got a big one to lead off with today.
Yeah. Kyrie. Oh, my goodness. So, Keith, we kind of saw this coming a few weeks ago when the story came out about the Nets kind of pulling away from Kyrie, maybe not being so certain on what they were going to offer him. The Nike doing the same thing. Now we're hearing they're at an impasse, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic, and there are teams lining up to register interest in a trade, with the teams that Shams mentioned being my Lakers, the Clippers, and the Knicks. So, again, maybe based on what we heard a few weeks ago, this isn't a surprise, right? I mean, you tell a guy that, hey, we don't want to commit to you long-term, and that guy still thinks he's the guy, right, that he is top level superstar. They're expecting a certain level of contract. You're not willing to go there. Of course, you're going to wind up at an impasse. So what was your initial take on this situation? And do you think we're heading towards Kyrie Irving now leaving yet another franchise?
Yeah, I guess my initial take was, wait, what now? It's we're not even to the draft yet. Like, right. I wasn't even ready for this kind of thing, you know, fully to just drop here on a Monday morning. But I will say it was, like you said, not super surprising, I guess. Just it seemed like kind of the seeds had been laid, you know, for that, or, you know, been planted, whatever the phrase is. And it was feeling like, all right, maybe this isn't like a match made in heaven anymore. Yeah. This isn't going to be how this goes down. So that part of it didn't fully shock me, I guess, that we're getting this kind of news. I think what it becomes very interesting is we're starting to see teams, because we're seeing a little bit of this with James Harden in Philadelphia too, right? There's no longer just, well, 5-year max deal, hand it to them and we'll figure it out later. I think teams have seen that year 4 and 5 for some of those guys, you just don't want to deal with it. It just becomes too burdensome to try to build your roster around. And I'm not taking shots here, but like John Wall and Russell Westbrook right now, right? Like,
absolutely.
You know, we're in year 5 of their contracts, and everybody's feeling a little like, boy, I wish I didn't have that $47 million sitting there. So I get it from the Nets side, right? Because they've got to be thinking, what is next that's going to keep Kyrie Irving from doing, you know, what we pay him to do, which is play all-star level basketball? And, you know, is there going to be another thing? Is there not going to be another thing? This impasse could be as simple as, he wants a 5-year max deal, 4-year max deal. And they're saying, no, how about 2 or 3? Or let's just play it out another year and see where it goes. It could be any of those. And that could be the challenge. Now, trades? Whew, man. It gets, yeah, complicated for a number of reasons. One is, if he opts out and wants to do a sign-in trade, his market is slashed almost by half, because half the team is going to be dancing around hard cap issues. Again, you get hard capped if you acquire a player via sign and trade. So that would become very, very difficult for teams to pull off. If he opts in and gets traded, things open up. Consider right then, basically all of the other 29 teams are in play, in theory, right? Because some of them he wouldn't go to, but at least in theory. So Shams mentioned the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Knicks as 3 teams that could be interesting. Lakers and Clippers, basically, without getting super silly, they need him to opt in,
yep,
and then get traded. And that's not the worst thing in the world, because then they could work out an extension with him after. They could work out a where next year they give him a max deal, something like that, you know, could happen on those ranges. I would feel a little bit uncomfortable about saying like, hey, we're going to re-sign you to a max deal, right? That's my Celtics Kyrie PTSD.
No. That's well warranted.
Because, I mean, he stood there and said he was going to do that, and then it didn't happen, yeah. Which I'm not complaining about. Just, you know, that is a real thing that happened. Knicks, obviously, much easier, right? They're miles under the tax apron. So they could do a sign-in trade. They could do a straight trade. They could do whatever for him. So I tweeted in response to it with the Joker saying, and here we go, because here we go, right? Like we're there now. It's time.
What I thought was interesting, this is an aside here, what I thought was funny and completely on brand is that you and I both, within seconds of each other, tweeted Thanos gifts in reaction to the NBA offseason picking up.
Our two passions coming together. It's perfect.
That's right.
It's almost right. Like, remember when they did that Marvel telecast of a game where it was like each yep. player was representing a character or something? Like, I could be down for another one of those. That was fun.
The whole offseason is just embodied by Thanos, apparently. Yeah. And like you said, if Kyrie wants to sign and trade, that wipes out half of the trade location.
Well done.
There it good is. Connection. Making connections.
I like it. Perfect.
Making connections. In terms of this whole situation, we always talk about this, about how you need to take news like this and you need to think about who benefits. Mm-hmm. So is this being put out there to any level? Do you think this is trying to put pressure on the Nets to get something done with Kyrie, putting out there that he's got wandering eyes, that he's looking at other options and things like that? Do you think this is a leverage ploy in the negotiation process between the Nets and Kyrie Irving?
If it was a normal circumstance, I'd say probably, but that would be very out of character for him in a sense. Like, he doesn't really do that. And he doesn't, we got to remember too, he's not represented by a traditional agency. Sure. It's his, I think his aunt represents him. If I remember correctly, I may have that incorrect, but I believe it's his aunt who reps him. So that's also a little bit of a different circumstance than usual. I almost kind of wonder, could this be coming from the Nets to try to get in front of this and let people know, like, hey, it's on him, right? He it's not us, it's Kyrie, and kind of a little bit of cover there. Cause we all know how it goes. People run with the first thing they hear. And that becomes, you know, what it is. That's the story forever. So I don't know. I'm having a little bit of trouble because I also don't know who this truly benefits. I don't think this benefits anybody because it doesn't change anything, right? He's Kyrie Irving. Like, if you want him, you're either going to trade for him on his existing deal with him opted in, or you're going to give him, you know, a max deal as best you can through a sign and trade anyway. This isn't a guy who's looking to get an extra $5 or $10 million or drum up a trade market that's not going to be there. I mean, it's even with all the hassles, there's probably of the teams that could trade for him, there's probably only a couple that are like, we're good, right? Like we're not, you know, interested right. in going that direction.
But that's what I'm saying. Couldn't this be him just kind of, and again, maybe this is far-fetched, but just kind of underscoring, like, hey, you know what? There's teams out there that want me if you don't want to give me that 50 sure. or whatever it is.
Could be. Yeah, it absolutely could be. Yeah. I guess I'm still wrapping my head around all of it because this was not what I expected my Monday to start off with. It's funny, just a little behind the scenes peek. I literally just opened up a Word document to start writing something else when this came down. And then it's like that Word document is still sitting there with two sentences in it. I haven't even touched it again yet. So I'll get back to that at some point.
So let me ask you, for these teams that are looking to trade for Kyrie Irving, should they? I mean, because it's going to be expensive to trade for him, no question. Do you think that it's a worthwhile endeavor to go get him? Or, like, how should fans of those teams feel right now? The Lakers, the Clippers, and the Knicks. Should this be an exciting, yes, go get Kyrie thing? Or I don't know. I need to be a little nervous about this type of situation.
If I was the Knicks, I would do it. I struggle to get past this guy. He's so good when he plays, even that's last year, like, he was so very good, you know, when he played. And yet you're going to have to build an ecosystem that works around him. You're going to have to build a defense that kind of works in spite of him, cause he's not a very good defender. But if I was the Knicks, 100%, like, they've been, you know, wanting a star for God knows how many years now. I think they could get there by kind of offering the Nets, like, hey, here's three guys who really round out your depth. Cause presumably Kevin Durant's not going to go anywhere, at least immediately. You know, so let's round out the depth around KD and still stay a pretty good team. The Knicks could offer players towards doing that. So I would, if I was the Clippers, if it's like Norman Powell and Marcus Morris and I don't know, one other guy is a throw-in or something to make the salaries match. Yeah, I mean, Kyrie, PG, and Kawhi, yeah, let's go.
What a trio.
You know, even with the availability issues and everything else, I mean, I think, you know, I would, you know, do that. We know they've been looking for, you know, upgrading the point guard spot for, you know, ages, it seems like. The Lakers, I was going to flip it on you. So, obviously, yeah. The Lakers is, you know, it becomes almost impossible, right? Unless it's Kyrie for Russ is the base framework of a deal. Let's just say that's what it was going to be. Kyrie opts in and it's Kyrie for Russ. And, you know, probably both first round picks would be my guess. And that the Lakers can trade. Maybe they have to throw in one of the kids. I don't even know. But what's your thought on that? That leaves you with Kyrie, LeBron, and AD and
So my initial thought was, and just working out the math, kind of, it would probably be like Kyrie and Patty Mills for Russ, because Russ at 47, sure. Kyrie be at 36. So, you know, you'd have to throw, add in some salary there to the net side of things. My initial thought was, yeah, the Lakers would probably do it. And it piggybacks on the Kevin O'Connor thing about the Lakers being interested in Bradley Beal, which makes no sense on the surface because they don't have the assets to get Bradley Beal. Mm-hmm. But our mindset from the Lakers side of things, from Lakers Nation, has been the Lakers are going to look to take Russ and chop him up into smaller contracts in a trade if they do something. And that's why we heard that the Hornets deal with Gordon Hayward and Kelly Oubre mm-hmm. or Terry Rozier, whatever those pieces, Malcolm Brogdon, Buddy Hield, right? I'd take Russ and get him, get a couple of guys that fit better with LeBron, and off you go. And then this Bradley Beal thing comes out, and it got me thinking, what if the Lakers are still just being the Lakers?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And they're like, no, we're not going to worry about that. We still want to do this three-star thing. And they're going big game hunting with Russ's expiring contract. And they're waiting for somebody disgruntled to pop up on the market to say, here, all the picks and expiring, and you can reset and we'll take your disgruntled star off your hands. And again, that's a much more difficult deal to create.
Sure.
But that's maybe the Lakers' mindset. And if that's the case, this Kyrie thing feels like the type of thing they would do. But then I flip it and I think, why on earth would the Nets want Russell Westbrook? I mean, aside from, oh, put KD and Russ back together, you know, put the band back together. But you have Ben Simmons. There's not a worse fit in the NBA next to Ben Simmons than Russell Westbrook.
Horrendous.
So in my mind, that the Nets are not stupid. In my mind, they would have to look at it and say, well, even if Russ and KD together have some synergy, we can't do this. And so at best, we're talking about some three-team trade where Russ goes to a third team, the third team sends stuff to the Nets, and the Nets send Kyrie to the Lakers. And then, and of course, it always gets more complicated the more teams that you add to it. So that was my initial analysis. But if the Lakers are of the mindset that we're going to go big game hunting with this Russell Westbrook expiring and we're going to be willing to trade all of our future stuff and whatever, which I don't know if is the correct path for them. Frankly, that makes me a little bit nervous. But if that is their mindset, then going after Kyrie fits in with that line of thinking.
Yeah, it really does. It's funny because it's very easy here on June 20th to get very like kind of tantalized about like, man, Kyrie, LeBron, AD. Well, that's pretty good. You know, put Trevor and Keith in that starting group, and there's probably still a 500 team. But then you think about, like, we just said that a year ago.
So we just did this.
We just did this. And then there were injuries and a lack of depth and all these other things. It's not like, whether it be Kyrie or Bradley Beal, either one. Either one's like the picture of health, you know, at points in their career. Both of them have had serious injuries. So that starts to look at, like, I don't know. I mean, you better have a better plan than to fill out roster spots 12 through 15. Than what it was last year. So that starts to become very, very tricky and interesting thing. I think there's part, right? There's a Lakers tax, right? Of like a star player available. Lakers are interested. It's how it's always gonna go, right? It's just the reality of it. It was the Knicks for years and years and years until they finally were a combination of bad enough, and then the new front office turned the corner to say, hey, stop, we're not doing the overpriced old veteran who's, you know, way overpaid now anymore. Like that combination flipped. So it's fascinating. This is one where I almost wish like we could fast forward a week or two, mm-hmm. see where it is. So then I can start putting together the pieces of like, all right, how did they make this work? Because that's just the way I work, is that's where my brain goes. I want to see, how did they make it work? What were the mechanics to even make this complicated of a situation come together? Because it is very, very hard, to do this, especially for, two of those three teams mentioned, because of the hard cap rules and all those things. Let's be very, very clear. If he opts out, there is almost no universe that exists anywhere where a sign and trade to the Lakers or Clippers is even remotely right. possible, unless somehow there was major salary dumping that went on. It's just you wouldn't have enough left under the hard cap to even fill out the roster, even if it was an even swap of salaries and everything else. So just to make sure we're being very, very clear about that. And that's, we're only talking those two specific teams because they were mentioned by Sean's in the reporting. There are other ones that we could put out there as well that are in the same boat. The Warriors, for example, they could never do it either. Not that they would, but like they're another one.
The just Bucks, an example of a team that can't hard cap themselves.
Exactly. So just that's going to be something we're probably going to hammer a lot here in the next 10 days as free agency comes upon us. Is just you got to watch this stuff with the sign and trades of where the team's at with the hard cap.
Right. Well, we've got roughly a million other things to get to.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our next topic. This is from the weekend, but still something we need to address. Kenny Atkinson turns down the Hornets after, we had just penciled him in. Like it was good. Yeah. And then, shocker, Kenny Atkinson has decided, and maybe it was just winning a championship with the Warriors. Maybe there was something else going on, but Kenny Atkinson turns down the Hornets, decides that he does not want to coach that team. This caught the Hornets. I was seeing out there that some members of the Hornets staff found out about it just like we did on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of this. There's only so many head coaching jobs in the NBA, so I'm surprised that this happened with Atkinson, but sometimes coaches do have a change of heart. Sometimes we see it with players too, but it's rare. And that's what made this so surprising. So Kenny Atkinson stays with Golden State. The Hornets back to the drawing board. If you're Mike D'Antoni, who was pretty much the runner-up, does he just get offered the job by default? And then if you're Mike D'Antoni, how do you feel about that? It's a weird spot to be in now.
Yeah, no, it very, very much is. This is very rare that anything like this even happens, because you don't usually see it get this point of being done. I immediately started to speculate, is it being set up for him to be the heir apparent to Steve Kerr in Golden State? Mike Brown maybe was in that chair, but he's obviously moving on to coach the Kings. So, is that where this is going? Is it going to be Kenny Atkinson eventually takes over? And I know a lot of people they're the same age and Steve Kerr's not that old. But Steve Kerr had the back issues. He's also been doing this for a long time. Yeah, back issues that, could have ended, not just his coaching, but his productive life. It was bad for him. So you've got all that stuff to factor into it too. So I just don't know if Steve Kerr is going to be the 20-year head coach guy. I just don't know that he wants to do that, because he's, he's done other things. He could go back to running a team. He could go back to, doing media again, like he did when he did that, he could just retire and just be, just hang out and, look at his rings and, have fun and do all the other stuff. So I do wonder, but yeah, now if you're the Hornets a few days ahead of the draft, not that the coach has a huge influence in the draft process, but
not ideal though.
The draft and then free agency a week after that, we're all here. You don't want to be this close to the off season full in gear and not have a coach. So, but the Hornets are back to work. And again, like we kind of said, right, they were competing with the Lakers for a little bit there as they were kind of looking at a lot of the same candidates. Now it's the Hornets and the Jazz that are looking at people, and they're both, moving along with their process. So there's going to be a lot of crossover and everything else in that.
So now we'll see what the Hornets do, who they ultimately land at. Terry Stotts, a name that's also out there that they could turn to. Mike D'Antoni, of course. Be interesting to see how they manage this situation. I would think, and this is, you know, no inside info or anything, this is just my guess, I would think that by this point, they're probably so locked in on the draft that it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't kind of get through the draft and then really pick up the coaching search after that. Because it's, I don't think right now you want to divert your attention away from the draft, because this is, it's not just the draft, it's trades, right? We talked about this being the summer of the trade. That is going to be consuming all teams around the league right now. So conducting a coaching search in this current environment would be pretty difficult. I would have to imagine.
Yeah. If it's not, if you don't, you want to ideally get this done in the next couple of days. If you're not done in the next couple of days, then you definitely want to get it done within that week long window in between the draft and the start of free agency. Otherwise, you know, it starts to become, you know, now you're building a team without, you know, knowing who's going to coach them. And that it's, again, you should build the best team. You can build the best team, but it is going to get messy if that's the direction it goes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm saying, if you can get it, if you've got it nailed down right now, cool. Get it done right now, but it's only going to get busier as the week goes along. And so that's going to create more problems in terms of just the logistics of trying to get these interviews in and get this done. If you're even going to go back through the interview process, it could be you just go into negotiations with Mike D'Antoni or Terry Stotts or whoever. Speaking of the Hornets, let's stay on the topic. The Hornets are reluctant, according to Shams Charania, to match a max offer for Miles Bridges. And we talked about who benefits from this. Could this be Miles Bridges, that side, putting out there that, hey, if we get a max, the Hornets might not match it? Because if you're a restricted free agent, most of the time teams just go, well, we like you, but we're not going to give you an offer because that just ties up our money. And we know your team's just going to match. So, we like you, but we're not doing this. If word starts getting out there that, hey, look, teams, if you want to offer a max, then the Hornets might not match it. That could really be a thing. Doesn't that just encourage that offer to come in? So again, reading between the lines, looking at who benefits, I think this is a good thing for Miles Bridges to have out there.
Yeah, I don't think this hurts anything for Miles Bridges by any means. I don't think anybody's going to look at this reporting and say, well, the Hornets don't want him, why should we? Like, hey, you know, Miles Bridges had a breakout season. You know, I'm not going to pull up his stats right now, but he was very, very good. And Shams notes in the piece, the emergence of two-way wings, like how important that was in playoff runs.
And there's none of them on the market. That means
to me a little bit of that might have come from an agent than, you know, rather than anything on the Hornets side, because this really doesn't benefit the Hornets at all, unless the Hornets are, you know, even then you use more of the Hornets will match anything to scare teams off of even offering a max offer sheet. So I think your assumption is probably right where this one's coming from, but we'll see. Does it drum up interest? Because the teams, then you're talking about Indiana, Detroit, maybe San Antonio, maybe Orlando, probably not Orlando. That doesn't really fit with where they're looking to go at the moment, but Indiana, Detroit, yeah, maybe. They're the only ones who can really do the offer sheet, because anybody else, it's got to be a sign and trade, for Bridges, which is not saying that's, you know, off the table by any means, but just, you know, then that doesn't match with the messaging here. So yeah, it's it's interesting. Just, you know, if you're the Hornets, don't get stupid here. Like, this guy's one of your best players and he's a perfect fit with LaMelo Ball. Like, it's, I get it. Like, a max is probably more than what he's worth, but you're not going to really be able to replace him. So just, you know, be reasonable.
Let's see. This is not, I just saw something here and I was hoping I was going to get to use my breaking news drop, but it's not that breaking. This is from the Pat McAfee show. Shams Charania was on the show and he says, sources tell me that of Kyrie Irving, that he wants to stay with Kevin Durant and the Nets, but the talks with Nets officials have led to a serious opening for him to hit the open market.
Well, yeah, I mean, that matches what he wrote on The Athletic today. So.
Right, and again, but it underscores that this isn't like, I think the part that he wants to stay with the Nets, like this isn't the ideal outcome for him. It's not like the bridge is completely burned and he's just saying, I'm gone, that's it, I'm done, I'm out. It sounds like this is more negotiation. Like he's hoping to stay with the Nets, but if the Nets don't do X, Y, and Z, he's going to look elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that makes sense, right? Like that turns into a whole thing with, you know, Kyrie of, hey, this is part of the power he has, right? Keep your options open and, you know, see where things might go.
All right. Jeff Green picks up his option.
Yes.
For next season, pretty much expected, yeah. Right? I mean, look, wings are a value on the market, but Jeff Green's getting up there in years, so I think most people expected him to do this.
Good fit with Denver. I didn't realize until I was doing offseason work, he shot a career high from the field this year, well up over 50%, you know, from the floor this year for Jeff Green. Great fit with Jokic because he's just such a smart player, right? Like, yep. He's one of those guys who just, he understands kind of, all right, Jokic is here, I got to move into his, you know, semi into his eye line because we know Jokic doesn't even need to really. He's got like him and Luka and LeBron. Like, don't even really need to see it. They just gonna kind of know you're there, and
yeah.
You know, off comes the pass. But yeah, he you know, great fit there. $4.5 million too. You're really affordable. Denver needs that type of contract and depth. He had passed Jamichael Green. Jamichael Green's option is due today, as we're recording this on Monday, June 20th. He does have to pick that up for that trade to go through with Oklahoma City. Otherwise, it would turn into a whole mess because you can't trade a pending free agent. So that'll get picked up. That trade will get executed, but maybe not until after the draft. We'll see. I'm getting the feeling that trade may hold so that they can add further protections into a deeper year because of what Denver can do as far as trading a pick, because they owe a couple picks already. So that way they could add protections into 2029 if they waited until after the draft was over. So that's what I think might be happening with that one.
Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. Obviously, the headline is misleading because – otherwise, we would have been leading
right with this. It would have been Kyrie, Bradley Beal. We would have been going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah. Bradley Beal has made his decision, but no one knows what it is because he's not telling anybody.
Yes.
So,
this was very funny. Josh Robbins had this over at The Athletic. Bradley Beal was at a, I believe it was a court unveiling, where he was opened up a court in the DC area. He does a lot in the community down there. And he did say, you know, yeah, I've made my decision. I know what I'm going to do, but I'm still finishing this current contract. It wouldn't be appropriate for me to share at this time. It's kind of fairish. Also, too, if it was like, I'm going to go join Team X and leave, well, then the tampering police are all over it, right? Because that would be that would be very illegal and not okay. So we'll see, you know, what this means. I've seen people, you know, go as far as like, this means he's gone, he's definitely leaving, he's not staying. And I've seen people be like, oh, okay, so he's opting in, or not opting in, but he's resigning because that's the only thing he could have, you know, really worked out so far. So we'll know in about 10 days ish in about 5 hours, probably. It's guess. So, he's gonna be one of the early ones.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm saying. It's gonna be one of those, like, well, if they want to draw the ire of the NBA, it'll be like 2 hours before the window actually opens, yeah. But it'll probably be right then.
Yeah, like a 6:01 Eastern, right.
It'll be like what I know as, because of, you know, trauma, as Mozgov time. Exactly, like it was 4 minutes after, in case you were wondering, the official buzzer when the Lakers
get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And that was back in the midnight days, too.
That was the midnight days. That was, so not only is it like, but it's getting later in the evening, you know, you're
yep.
you get you're kind of tired, a little cranky, and then that happens. Yep.
And you see some back then too. It was always funny because you would see some of them and you would get a little like, wait, did I really like yep. what? And like you're like rubbing your eyes, rubbing the sleep out of your eyes and rereading the tweet or whatever it is. And yeah. Oh man, I kind of miss it, to be honest. Like you do kind of miss like that it was so late at night. It was an event
kind of like lining up for Black Friday sales.
Yeah.
That similar idea of like, hey, you know what? We're gonna do this together. Like, I know we're gonna be going on no sleep and everything, but energy drinks and we're gonna find a way to power through this. It was like something that you prepared for. Whereas now it's like, I mean, you're prepared, but it's not quite the test of endurance that
it was. Here on the East Coast, it's like shovel down dinner so I can get in front of the computer for the rest.
Exactly.
Of the day. Yeah. And we'll be here with you guys, just in case anyone was wondering. We'll be here probably a little bit later in the evening. We'll do our big live wrap-up shows is our plan, like we did last year. We had a lot of fun with those. We did five of them last year. We did the first five nights of frequency, something like that. And we had a blast. It was great. It was really cool to, like, all right, what happened? go through all of it, and it was so funny how many people were like, wait, I totally missed player X signed with
exactly
team. Like, when did that happen? So yeah, we had a lot of fun with those. I'm looking forward to doing that again.
The 5 days of free agency, it's like the 12 days of Christmas, but better. Right?
yeah I agree, especially nowadays. That holiday's lost a lot for me. I don't get super fun stuff anymore.
Yeah, that's still fun.
It's fun. It's fun for the kid, like been watching
exactly.
And there's hoops all day hoops, so
can't complain.
Those are August topics. Let's move on.
Thanasis Antetokounmpo picks up his option again. Not a surprise there, keeping them together with the Milwaukee Bucks. And what's his brother's name again, though? Who's that guy? Kind of like an end of the bench guy, right? Giannis? Alex? Giannis, I think that's it.
Oh, Giannis, I think he's related somehow. He's okay,
he's just all right.
Yeah, no, this is very expected. Sure, people made the joke, like, Giannis got his brother paid. Yep, like, that's fine. Like, it's, we see it all the time. Guys get their friends signed to, an end of the bench contract. Might as well get your brother paid, right? There's no problem with this for me. Plus, they love him for everything he does on their bench, too. He's like one of those bench five guys.
All right, Shake Milton has his option picked up as well.
No brainer.
Yeah. Again, not really a surprise. And this is the time for kind of the no brainer ones, right? Yep. Like where it's just clear. Okay. Let's just get this done. Get the paperwork done. Get through. It's just a formality of anything else because you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. And if anybody's wondering, all options have to be picked up by June 29th, the day before free agency opens. So some of them do have pre-specified earlier dates. Like I talked about Jamichael Green being today. Some of them are earlier. Shake Milton's was not earlier, but the teams can always do it earlier, or a player can opt in at any point. Like I know, Pete, I know you've probably been asked a billion times and I've probably been asked slightly less, but when does Russell Westbrook have to opt in? June 29th, but he could today if he wanted to.
He could
do it today. It doesn't, there's no problem with that. Generally, most of them go down to the day that they're due or maybe the day before. But yeah, and Shake Milton, under $2 million for a rotation guard. Yeah, no brainer. Not even a question.
And the player can't be traded until they do opt in.
Correct.
So as well. Yep. All right. We've got one more for this portion of the show today. Obviously, we are going to have to split this episode into two for today because there's so much going on. Tomas Satoransky looks like he's going to be heading to Barcelona, which means the free agent class gets that much thinner. There is just not much out there in free agency this year. But again, it's going to be the summer of the trade. At least that's what we've been saying. But Satoransky, we've been hearing this for a while that he's probably going to go overseas. And this adds even a little bit more smoke to that fire.
Yeah, had a tough couple years after signing with the Bulls. Wasn't very good with them. Wasn't great with the Pelicans after getting traded there. Then he was traded to San Antonio, bought him out. And then he re-signed with the Wizards and actually finished the season pretty strong. And given that Washington needs a point guard, there was a thought of, all right, maybe he sticks around there. But, yeah, it's going back, Barcelona's where he played before. He came over to the NBA several years ago, so he's headed back there. It sounds like the rumor out of Europe is he's going to play with his countryman, Jan Vesely, for a little throwback.
Oh.
Name there. Yeah, the two of them are going to link
last
up.
Last from the past there?
Yeah. Yeah, both from the Czech Republic. So sounds like they're going to link up and play together there. Barcelona? And what's that movie? Wedding Crashers with Vince Vaughn. Where he's like, Barcelona, Barcelona.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, that is a good movie. All right. That's a good place to end this one.
Yes. Yes. Now, we do have more to get into today. That's going to be coming a little bit later. We're going to talk a little bit about the Pacers trading Miles Turner, potentially Malcolm Brogdon. We're going to also talk about the Pistons, potentially as a landing spot for DeAndre Ayton, Colin Sexton, an update on his situation, all kinds of stuff to get into. The Hawks looking to trade everybody, essentially. we're gonna get into all of that. So that is coming up later on today. So make sure you do check that one out. Make sure you're subscribed to the NBA Front Office YouTube channel. Turn on those notifications as well. If you're listening over on Apple Podcast, make sure you do give us that 5-star rating and review. We do appreciate it. Till then, everybody, see ya and stay safe.